Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you with us, and we look forward to having an enjoyable evening. We have our regulars here at the beginning, and then we also have Omina will be here as our guest. So looking forward to interaction with all of you, and we'll start it off with passing the talking stick to Angel Sue, who will set the tone and get us going. So, Angel Sue?
Thank you so much, and greetings in the light of the most radiant one and in the office of the Christ and only in the office of the Christ. We're invoking the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. And if you will once again claim yourselves as the beloved child of the universe that you are, God, Goddess, all there is, the God of your heart, and just let your awareness come from your head down into the heart space. And it, that every breath you take is filled with more of the unconditional divine love and shares gratitude, that it goes out and touches every atom, every cell, and that this be attended to by your higher self and the rest of your support team. And intend that you stay connected as one with all there is. And that is part of our law of one of the phrases. And if you take the first letter of each word in that phrase, that gives you a new word. Owati. O for one. W with. A all. T there. I. That stands for is, and I'm making it sound like TP, Owati, the last two letters. So if you incorporate that word into your meditations, into your language, I am Owati, or even just into toning, perhaps you'll receive some wonderful vibrations like I've been getting off of it for the last little bit. So as we are Owati together, let's intend also that whatever's going on in our lives, whatever is touching us, coming into our awareness, that Owati serves as a vehicle to find the perfect, divine, happy solution for everything. So with Nasara, Nasara, the Reformation Act, our Faction 3 White Knights, and our Galactic Forces of Light, all those that are working to bring forth this new paradigm, this wonderful reset to live in heaven, let's just call in all the beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and use this original law of creation. For we are all one. And as one is harmed, then all are harmed. As one is helped, then all are helped. as one is healed, all are healed, and this goes throughout time and space. So in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, Orati, we ask that only the highest good of all concern happen here to bring forth joy and happiness, healing and hope, harmony, divinity, heaven, heaven, heaven here now. So we lift this up throughout time and space and call in for the ascended masters, the angels, all those who are functioning to bring forth this change, all those who wish to live in this joy. We give thanks that this is done in the perfect happy way with honey in the heart. 13 thank yous, honey in the heart, and oh my gosh. This we are closing by saying amen. All women, all children, all beings, all creation, let our happy hearts radiate throughout the universe. And so it is. And I pass the talking stick back to you, Marita Roberts. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Angel Sue. I hope that you're getting a little relief down there from the oppressive heat.
Well, it is 90 degrees in the house with three air conditioners running. Our little broken up place is just hard to find out where to stopgap it, but we're okay. We're going to make it.
Well, you hang in there, and we will see you next week, if not before. So thank you for opening the call for us.
Thank you.
And now I pass the talking stick to Carolyn and let her help us understand what's happening in the Mayan calendar and anything else in her healing classes that she wants to share.
Thank you, Marita Robert. I'll take that talking stick. And today is a 13th Kong. That means we are completing this wave of deed today with this deed energy. And it's all about timing and potential. So let's remember our potential as we take that 13 sacred stone energy of transformation and transcension and make this universal movement of change. And it is an interdimensional shift. So very powerful. And we have that new moon energy. And then tomorrow we begin a new wave. And that's the wave of Qigong, the serpent. So this is time to be in equanimity in all actions, in every action. So just stay in balance. And let me just share a little bit with Kimi, the white world, Qigong, the red serpent. It's a time of change. You must prepare yourself. And distinguish for yourself that you are primarily a soul which happens to have a body. Use your instinctual gifts during this time. And be open to change and transmute negative energy and blockages made by the ego. You can make change happen in moments of a thought. So use your body sensing to let go of insecurities, of fears around intimacy. So that's a good way. And we're right in the core now of this. The matrix, the Zolkin. And so we're the next 10 days after Friday, starting on Saturday with Sue Feeney, we will be having 10 portal days. And so with Saturday being a 2 Feeney, it's a polarity day, and it's powerful working with those opposites. The stability with the two tones. and the lunar aspect as well. So to me, that bridge of worlds, we have that energy we're working with on Saturday. So we are doing that. We're bringing heaven to earth. We're letting go what no longer serves. We're building something new. So we're working between with that bridge between the worlds on Saturday and with that true energy. So very powerful during the portal day. And then Sunday, another portal day of streaming the new healing hand. And that good activation number with the three. So let's activate our healing on Sunday. And on Monday, another portal day, we just keep having, it's a four Lamont, the Stargate. And that core energy of self-existing, measure, representing the crystal clarity of form, and that energy of Lamont, the Stargate. So let's take our shuttlecraft through that Stargate on Tuesday, on Monday, and then on Tuesday we have a five loop, and that's also that is also Rama's birthday. So happy birthday on that Friday. It's a portal day as well. And that moon is the moon energy, telepathy, abundance, and five, that centered movement. So it's an active tone. It's a powerful tone. It's one of the column days in the way. So there you go. That's Tuesday, and then Wednesday we have another portal day of six folks, the dogs. So let's use that six energy with that unconditional love we have and we see with the dogs. So practice unconditional love on Wednesday with that tone of equality, that number six tone. And then on Thursday when we come back, that very powerful seven tone, just chilling, the monkey. And so it's our magical artistry. We get to practice when we come back next Thursday with that powerful seven tone. Being the channeling resonance one. So the ability to move from source and back to matter. So very powerful day when we return next Thursday, and that is the week. It's very powerful because we're in the total day and in the core part of the matrix. We're looking as it relates to the body on our DNA and looking on the left side of the body and all the organs on the left side of the body. We start on, at the 21st. On Monday is the 20th. So we start on Monday with the five unlucky days, as they are called. But I would just call those five seeking days and not get caught up in the idea of anything being unlucky. And just notice that that's just how we're approaching that day out of time, which will be Friday next week. So there you go.
Rainbird, you sound so hard to hear. You're so resonant. You're not clear. I don't know if you can help that a little better.
Well, I was wondering. I'm echoing really badly.
Can you change something? I don't know. Just try a different modality.
You're on speakerphone?
Now I'm not. Is this better?
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
Yes.
It's still echoing.
That's
I'm
better.
I'm hearing everything I'm saying again.
Well, we'll just have to get your computer back up. That's what we'll hold the vision for.
Okay, let's manifest that computer.
Yeah, let's do.
I pass the talking stick back to you, Marita. I'm pretty much complete.
Well, thank you for getting us going here. And I know you had your class last Sunday or your get-together. Do you have anything scheduled this week that you need to tell people about for your healing energy?
No, I don't, but I'm contemplating the third or fourth week of August. Well, probably the third week of August, if it's possible. If not, I have to wait till September to just do another basic class. So if people are interested in looking into it and want to know more about it, they could think about taking that class. Actually, it'll probably be September, because I see August filling up pretty quick.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we thank you very much for helping us understand the energies of the Mayan calendar, and also for sharing your healing modalities with the world. So you are appreciated. And I'm going to pass the talking stick next to Annie Rose to see if she has anything that she would like to share with the group this evening.
You're
muted then, so, well, that's good. It keeps it quiet until you're ready to speak, so. Okay, did you have anything you wanted to share with us tonight?
Yeah, the eclipses are approaching fast. The dates for them are September 13th and September 28th, but everybody's going to say, oh, my, that's a long way off. Not really, because the eclipses we're going to have...
Do you have a TV on in your background? Because we hear a lot of noise from somewhere.
Yeah, let me shut it off. I have to go in another room, but I'll shut it off. Hold on.
I heard something metallic. I hope she didn't have an accident.
But it looks like she's still here.
Well, yeah. She may have laid the phone down to go turn the TV off.
This shouldn't take that long.
She said she had to go in the other room.
Yes, I know.
Right.
That must be a
mile. Annie, are you there?
Dougie, can you tell us?
Let's go ahead.
Maybe Doug should hang up and try to... No, that won't work. Something... I heard that metallic sound. I hope she didn't bump into anything.
I heard it too. Okay. Well, Rama, why don't you go ahead and start, and then... when Annie gets back, we'll check. We'll keep checking to make sure she's back. How's that sound?
I turned the TV down off.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you are. There you are. We just thought you went down the road about a mile and came back.
No, not already.
All right. So, what do you want to tell us about the eclipses?
Yeah, I found out that these are very unusual in as much as their effect will be felt. This week before the actual date and 6 weeks after. And that's a long effective period for an eclipse. But the one is in Aries, and the second one is going to be in Virgo. So, of course, those two planets will be the most effective. But it's also a good time to clear things up, too. If there's been something that's been bothering them. The only thing that did bother me as I studied this thing was in March, on March the 8th of 2014, was it? There was an eclipse. It hit right through down to the middle of Russia by the coordinates. The two lines, you know. It was hit right to the middle of Russia and then traveled southward into Iran. And I don't recall historically what happened at that time, but it had to have something to do with the nuclear stuff. There must have been talks at that time starting, or something has had to originate at that time. And it's going the same, the identical effects are going to be because of these two eclipses that are coming. So we're not. not done talking with at all yet. And that's really unfortunate. The one eclipse, the one in Virgo, is going to hit the USA financially. And it will hit the USA. It'll hit us financially too, but it's also going to hit our communication sector. So those are things that.
And when is that one? When is that one, Annie?
September 15th.
Okay.
And that's going to be.
That lines up with other things that we've heard about that time as too, doesn't it?
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, we appreciate you looking up the information about these eclipses, and we'll look forward to seeing following along and seeing what happens as they appear.
Yeah, we'll have to. And, you know, as like, I'm going to say it's a gift from Marita to her listeners through me. I'd like to make an offer. I can't tell you how quick I can answer, but now that I'm home and I feel good, I'm dying to get back more into my readings than I have been. I want to make an offer to all of our listeners tonight. So many times, I am an Aries, with the sun in Aries, but I have six planets in Taurus. So when I read the And my moon, which is the inner self, my moon is in Virgo. So what I do is that when I pick up the newspaper magazine, I'll read Aries and Taurus for sure, and I definitely read Virgo, because whatever it says for Virgo will affect, or is being talked about, my moon, because it's there. And people don't know where their signs are. And now there's a lot of advertising, you know, spend $5, $10 for a chart. What are you going to do with a chart that's not teaching you how to read it? All I want to do is make the offer to, if anyone wants to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and send their birth date and time and place of birth if they have it. If not, just the birth date. I will send you back a list of where each planet is, what sign it's in. Like mine would say Sun is in Aries, they say Taurus, Venus is in Taurus, Mercury's in Taurus, and all of the six of them. Mars is in Taurus. It's called a selenium. And if you have anything like that where there's three to six planets in some other sign, then what you read in the general horoscope, daily newspaper stuff, it won't be exact, but it'll be much closer than what it would be just reading what your own sign is. And that's if it's okay with Marita if I do that.
Okay. What they'll need to have your address then.
Okay. The address is, I'm going to give you my son's address because he has a good mailman. He gets the mail. It's 5757 Indian Trail. And it's Merrillville, Indiana, M-E-R-R.
6757?
57, yeah. Indian Trail. Merrillville, M-E-R-R-I-L-L, V like Victor, I-L-L-E, Indiana, 46410, 46410. And he gets my mail and brings it to me. Because we have a mailman that has an aversion to leaving anything in my box. And
they just address it to Annie Rose?
Yes.
Okay. We can do that. And so Annie Rose, 6757.
I'll mail it back to the person as soon as I get it done. It won't take me long to do it. It's just I have to sit myself down and do it.
And okay. We thank you for making that offer for all of our listeners, and we'll just see who wants to take advantage of it.
There might be a person out there who has a dimple in his chin. It's very pronounced and very noticeable. And if they do, that would be a Scorpio trait, because if you have Scorpio rising or if you have planets in Scorpio, that's one of the traits.
Okay.
If you have a child that loves to be outside, you can bet there's something in Aquarius in their chart.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of help you understand your kids too. And I've always wanted to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we will look forward to seeing how many people take advantage of that. And if anybody needs any help with that, I have the address here. They can always connect with me at stargatemarita@gmail.com. And, well, we'll look forward to seeing you next week, and we wish you a lot of happiness and good health. And I'll pass the talking stick to Rama next, because I know he's talked to some people out there, and we want to hear about it.
Good, Rama. I'm just happy to be home again.
Okay. Well, we're happy that you're well enough to be back. So.
Yes.
Rama, are you there?
Greetings.
Tara.
Greetings, Rama.
Hey.
Greetings.
Good to hear from you.
I can just say that with great certainty, what happened in Chattanooga, Tennessee, was another black op, and it has to do with the fact that the 13 families are in a corner, and she who was here before the gods were here has them in, let's say, her field of vision, and they are petrified about what is going to happen. Pluto, in the midst of this, the latest photos of Pluto, there is a lot to be said about what's going on with Pluto. And Chiron, the little system of Pluto, Chiron, they are a double planet system. And Pluto's not a dwarf planet. It is one of the jumping off places, you might say, at the edge of the solar system before you go into the Kuiper Belt and then into...
What's the Kuiper Belt?
It's a belt of energy surrounding the solar system at the very edge. And then you go very close to the Oort cloud, I believe, and out of the solar system into interstellar space. You got to kind of avoid a few asteroids along the way. Yet everything that's going on, I relate to the fact that the number one thing that's in our face is full disclosure is any time now. And
because the king said that now that those pictures have come back from that New Horizon space probe from Pluto.
Yes.
That is kind of some kind of a signal that full disclosure is forthcoming. It's quickening on that process.
Yes. And I spoke today with Jimmy Carter and the King of Swords. And Jimmy Carter, let's just say he called up with the king, because he said, I'm getting the sense that, you know, it's time to beam up. And the way he described it is, I feel like a pat of butter that has been put on a piece of bread and spread too thin. Even though he's 90 years old and still going strong, he's just saying, I have these moments where I am just really, really tired. And he said, I would, you know, I'm just getting the sense I want to continue the mission on the other side of that doorway with Captain Ashtar. It doesn't mean I've gone anywhere. I've just changed the coat, is the way he put it. Uh-huh. And he also said, I want to come clean with my family's history. My father is Joseph Kennedy Sr. My brother is JFK Sr.
Well, he said he's going to say that publicly.
That's right.
But he said it's going to be happening to be soon, because he doesn't think he's going to be here much longer.
Yeah, and he feels that the country needs to know the reason why JFK Sr., they killed a clone of him, because he was going to talk about the Galactics and the fact that to this day we're still bantering with the idea of nuclear weapons. And I'll say it again, all the nukes are neutralized. Ashtar and Sananda have it in the bag. What they're playing with is this brinkmanship game that's very dangerous with conventional weapons, and very soon now, all of those will cease to be useful. They will be useless pieces of metal, as the way it's been described to me.
And what will be?
The conventional weapons.
Oh, hurry up.
And then we're going to have to figure out how we have a real conversation, because sticks and stones ain't going to do it either. And I also today heard Mark Levine. Mark Levine was an intern for Barney Frank, and he worked on the Dodd-Frank bill right alongside Chris Dodd and Barney Frank. And he talked about this shooting in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and just said, what's going on here is Mr. Pepe Le Pew needs to be held for his war crimes by supplying the guns to the weapons manufacturers.
Jimmy Carter said that?
No. Mark Levine.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Levine also went into a story how his sister was murdered. And Mark Levine is gay. He's not afraid to openly talk about it with, you know, anyone. And
what happened to his sister, though?
His sister was murdered, and it has to do with C Street and some of the unusual activities that happened on C Street.
Well, what was his sister involved in?
Let's say she found out about some of the goings-on at C Street, and she started to talk to folks. Word got out, and let's say she ended up dead, and he knows it's murder, and it has to do, he said, number one, with Denny Hastert and Bill Frist. And
but what is C Street? I don't really know what that is.
That's where the evangelical men have a house in Washington, D.C., and they usually have all kinds of partners going on. There's sexual everything, gay and everything in the middle.
There's a website called familyofsecrets.com that tells the whole story about this.
You'll be busy if you look up that website, Kathy.
Yeah. They even bring up Ted Gunderson. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, he was involved in bringing young kids to the White House and to all kinds of other political people to have sex with, and then they would kill them.
Yeah.
And then we're done with them. And he was
give that it. Site you just gave to us. Say it one more time, Rama. What was the site?
Familyofsecrets.com.
Thank you.
Rama, last week, and Marita too, I asked the question if anyone knew or had heard of what did Reese use as collateral for the big loan they took out last year from the IMF.
What did the collateral Greece use?
Collateral for what?
The money that they borrowed from the IMF.
They didn't borrow it yet. They're borrowing it. It's going to be $94.5 billion.
But yeah, but what was this payment that was due? It was due this past week.
The next payment's not due till the 20th, so that's coming up real soon. But they were able to pay the last no, they weren't able to pay the last one. And that's why they went into
default.
Right, and whatever their collateral was will be taken away.
Oh, that's criminal. What they basically did is they stole their commons. Mm-hmm. The Troika stole their commons, and they're going to own it, and they're going to sell it off, and they're going to make triple on it. They're going to put it in the hedge funds. That's what they're going to do.
My understanding that what they used was two islands.
No, that's not true. They used a lot more than that, and they took all their airports and all their regular ports for the ships. And they took a lot of land.
They privatized it.
They privatized it. Then they're going to sell it off. They're actually going to use the hedge funds, and they're going to triple their. They're going to triple what it's worth, and they're going to put it in their pockets.
I would think that would kind of shake the USA up a little bit because of their military bases.
I'll just tell you what. You know, nothing is as it seems.
No.
These guys are lizards, and they run the world the way they feel like it until they don't anymore. And it's all criminal. And Barack Obama and his whole family are between a very large rock and a very large hard place because they threaten to eliminate their entire extended family as he did not go along with the TPP. They did the same thing over there. They threatened Prime Minister Tsipras and his entire family to eliminate them. Every baby, every granny, every cousin, everything in that, just to completely wipe the whole family off the map. They already did it to Senator Daschle. What they do is they replace them all with clones, but they killed every single member of Senator Daschle's family when he exposed Bush Jr., when Bush Jr. gave the tax break. I think it was the second State of the Union when all those Republicans got up there and gave a standing, you know, hoopla, hooray, ovation for 10 minutes because they all got $1 billion off their taxes. And what Senator Daschle, as the commentator after that State of the Union, said is that this was the beginning of the end of the sovereignty and solvency of the United States of America. He was causing the demise of the whole country. And for that, his whole family was wiped out and killed and cloned. From every baby to every oldest granny and everything in the middle. And they are doing this now, and they're getting much more prolific with it because they're desperate. And I want to just reiterate that on the 14th of February, excuse me, on the 6th of February 2014, last year, the entire global economy already collapsed. And everything is treason, lies, and fraud ever since. They've been selling off debt at the hedge fund level on the derivative markets and calling it profit and sticking it in their pockets. And it's to the tune of things like thousands of trillions, unimaginable amounts of
astronomical
amounts of
complete, total treason. That's all it is.
That's why almost every other day Max Kaiser is screaming on RT, will you people get it? Get your money out of the big banks before it's completely gone. And right now, Europe, they have already, you know, there are riots going on in Greece. And it has to do with the fact that the EU is a criminal organization set up by the 13 families based on the Babylonian money magic machine. And the Satanists, they worship that owl god Moloch. That has to do with this ancient Babylonian story. Mother's wayward children, as I call it. The old Elohim that kind of fell.
Hey, didn't you say that somebody's been talking about the Nazi regime? Oh, that was our sister Sonia. They had this full disclosure, you know, group with our lobbyist in
Dr. Bassett,
Dr. Stephen Bassett at the Joshua Tree again. I think it was about a week ago, but they were uncovering the entire. They called it the Fourth Reich. What's mm-hmm. going on is the Eurozone. The European Union is the Fourth Reich of our day, started at, right after the war, and the United States corporate fascist state is the Fourth Reich in this country. And they are unraveling all the criminals right now from back at that time until now. See, because we never ended World War II. We're still doing World War II, everybody, and we're just at the level of what we call Fourth Reich. So this thing has got to go down. And our Hank Paulson caused the demise, along with some Greek oligarchs in their political structure, along with a few others that helped, the masters of the Eurozone, this article is called. And, for instance, in Greece, there's someone called Lucas Papademos.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Greece's new prime minister at the time back in...
I remember
him. Started
in
2007 or so. Anyway, Greece's new prime minister, Lucas Papademos, ran the central bank of Greece as the prime minister, too. And at the time of the controversial derivatives deals with Hank Paulson and his bank at the time called Goldman Sachs that enabled Greece to hide the size of its debt when it wanted to enter the European Union. Oh, that was way back in 2002, back in actually 2001. They did it in the credit swap
derivative
markets. They hit it that way. And then Petros Christos, but that was with the blessing of Hank Paulson, head of the Golden State. In other words, he provided the platform and covered it up and put it in his pocket too. And Petros Christos Doulou, another Greek, head of Greece's debt management agency, began his career at Goldman Sachs. And then in Italy, Mario Monti, he was the prime minister at the time, and he was the international advisor to Goldman Sachs at the time. And in France, Antonio Borges, international... Until this week, head of the IMF's European Department, former vice chairman of Goldman Sachs International. And then Ireland, Peter Sutherland, former attorney general of Ireland, prominent voice during Ireland's bailout, non-executive director of Goldman Sachs International, whatever that means.
Hello.
And then Belgium... this guy's name is Karoljevan Miert, former EU competition commissioner and ex-international advisor to Goldman Sachs. And in Germany, Otmar Issing, former board member of Bundesbank and the European Central Bank. He helped create the euro, along with Robert Mondale from over here. That same Robert Mondale from over here created the Reaganomics, which is exactly the same thing as what's going on over there with the Troika.
Mm-hmm.
And they helped create the euro, and he was an advisor to Goldman Sachs. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, plus Hank Paulson that created this at behind the scenes. These are the masters of the Eurozone.
We have Big Will on line one.
Okay.
Big Will, speak up.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Okay, great. Thank you. Marita Roberts, thank you very much. And I'm glad that Annie Rose is doing much better and she got home. And Annie Rose, thank you very much for being a part of this program. Tara and Rama, I wanted to say thank you both for being who you are, because we definitely appreciate all the Faction 3 news. I really, truly appreciate that. What I want to say is this. Today, we learned that the conviction or the court proceedings that took place in Aurora, Colorado today. And this gentleman was found guilty. And I understand that sometime next week or 10 days from now, they're going to give the sentencing phase of this guilty phase, whether this gentleman received the death penalty or will he be put behind bars in a institution for the insane. So what I want to say is this. 2 weeks ago, we had the same situation happen in Boston. What do you say about this whole situation, Lord Rama, Lady Master Tara?
All of this has to do, and Chris Hayes brought, I mean, Chris, not Chris Hayes, Mark Levine brought this up today on his show. And all the shootings, and he brought it all the way back from Bowling for Columbine, Michael Moore.
All the shootings in between.
That's right.
They were all black ops. They were set up by the black ops at the behest of the 13 families to keep everybody fear and fascination with the dark side, and none of them were done on their own.
That's right.
Including this most recent one, all black ops. And that in particular, that's the one I wanted to say because in case anybody didn't come to the Ashtar on the Road, Hillary Clinton planned and set up a blood sacrifice, meaning she was at the church of Emmanuel in front of the church, and she set up the ritual energy to have this character that we call, what's his name, Daryl?
Oh.
Daryl Storm Roof, after a Ku Klux Klan group. But he was just a go-between, just like this Aurora killer. He didn't do it at all. That was a black op that did that job, and they didn't prove anything. You know, that guy was dressed up in an outfit, and he had a cohort that, you know, dropped him off at the entrance where he came from behind the screen and then picked him up and took off. And the police were in on it because whatever his name is, the Aurora killer's name. I forgot just at the moment.
Oh, Gerald Lee Loftner.
Yeah, he was completely incapacitated sitting in the
They used some kind of drug on him where it basically
erased his memories.
Yeah, it was like a clean mind wipe. You know, they.
So Hillary Clinton set up a blood ritual sacrifice to feed the dark side, so that they could continue to keep people distracted on another level while they go about doing their New World Order business and getting dirtier and dirtier by the day.
That's I totally agree with that, Lady McIntyre. Also today, in the news, our president visits Oklahoma City federal prison today, and the welcoming committee was out in force today. The Ku Klux Klan and all its members were there. What do you say about that, Lord Rama, Lady Master Tara?
Well, they're the same Ku Klux Klan members that helped set up South, you know, South Carolina, Charleston. Tom Hartman's been talking about this for all week about as the statistics going on in the racist states of the South. If those things were eliminated, if those things were eliminated from the statistics of the rest of the country, we wouldn't be number 37, number 47, number whatever down the list for all kinds of things going on. All of those statistics that are so heavily laden with negative results are from the southern states. And, of course, the people are at a distinct advantage, disadvantage. Only one state was not a Confederate state. All the other Confederate were Confederate states that do not take extended Medicaid, for instance. I mean, this is a coup d'etat. And the state that wasn't part of that is Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Oh, that's right. The Koch brothers want Mr. Scott Walker to be president. And there was another story just yesterday in the news about that Wisconsin deal. The Supreme Court justice became a Supreme Court justice after one of the other assistants came up and just found in the election or something that, oh, we found 10,000 missing votes. No. They're all for him. Oh, he didn't win the night before, but we just found these overnight, so now he gets to be on there. This was all rigged by the Koch brothers behind the scenes. Now they had four extremely right-wingers that got in there, and then they covered up, and today or yesterday, they ordered the burning of all the investigative material that would tie Scott Walker to helping get that rigged in his favor. And a couple of other things. He's got his right to work for less thing going in there. There's every kind of criminal activity. This guy is
agree with that, Lady Master Tara. But there are some ever-pressing matters need to be talked about. And let's talk about Donald Trump. I understand that Donald Trump is leading in the polls for the Republicans.
Trump.
Could you knock him off his pedestal and say, Donald Trump, are you a U.S. citizen, or will some reporter bring that up? What do you say, Lord Rama?
I'm just going to say that it will happen when it happens, as it's going to happen. But right now,
he's a
shoe-in to get rid of Jeb Bush as the front runner and to set up
Scott Walker
to be the president by the Koch brothers. That's what he's in there for.
Yeah.
And right now, you got to say, remember the Dutch royals that he's a part of those, for that part of the 13 families. They basically own the planet, and they basically put the Bushes in power, you know, broke and everything. They funded it along with that Tyson chicken company. So I mean, this is the web is so deep. Trying to isolate it is exhausting. It's time for the whole shebang to go down. That's my take.
Yeah, if you try to follow the rabbit through this rabbit hole, you're going to get lost.
Yes.
You know, tonight on the news, fastest selling, kind of thing that they fill with candy and then beat with a stick. What do you call those? Mexican
pinatas.
Pinatas.
A pinata. The fastest selling pinata is one of
the
Donald Trump.
Flag, right? The Confederate flag or something.
And they it doesn't even have any candy in it.
Oh, nice. Nice. The other thing is that on an international scale, over there in Japan, that little criminal Shinzo Abe and his lower house, which his coalition has the complete control of, they passed these bills to send forces abroad, meaning that the whole situation in Japan and its tenor has completely been changed. And a young Japanese citizen said it very well. He said, the bills destroy the principles of our Constitution. It's especially the Ninth Amendment, which states that unless you're attacked directly on the turf of Japan, you may not go and retaliate or defend the country. They're changing that. And they want to say that, you know, that Japan can get together and go to war with, say, the United States against China. How about that? You know? And so the bills destroy the principles of our Constitution. As these are made into law, it means a big shift for Japan to become a country which can fight wars. We cannot accept these bills. They affect the direction of the country and our everyday life. So we now aim to stop them from passing the parliament's upper house in the parliament's upper house. The upper house of parliament has 60 days to review the legislation. As the bills are not passed, they return to the lower house, where Abe's majority coalition can easily push them into law. So this is a rigged setup right now. I don't know if Almina's got to show up. We're just watching. But I'm just saying, let's not get stuck on any one thing. There's so many fingers of this octopus that are encroaching. And to ask an intelligent question, it goes really deep as to how we as a people are supposed to lead. We are the United States of Altea, America. And St. Germain doesn't have two offices in Virginia and another one in Washington, D.C. all this time for nothing. And he's definitely...
I totally agree, Lady Master Tara. I do want to say this real quick before we leave the air so we can go to our conference line. I want to say this. What's going to happen with Italy and Portugal? Are they next to fall? Or what do you say about that?
Oh, this is not about falling. It's about them rising up. Yet this horror story, the measures, they include so much horror story things, you know, including, you know, adding an unconscionable tax onto the working ordinary person who is already in utter dire poverty. I cannot emphasize how critical this is. This is a first world country, and 40% of their children are malnourished, like Yemen. And by the way, Yemen's on the verge of a total famine. There's going to be a massive famine there. They're already there. And this is just, you know, we
it's
just
courtesy of the empire over here.
Yes. And they slashed those people's retirement funds. In other words, people are 80 years old and they're still trying to scrounge a living. I mean, working to the bone, or else they just drop.
Birth of Heaven is Yoda.
Yo, this is Auschwitz in public. This is what's going
yes,
on.
Yes, and the people, and once again, Lady Master Tara and Lord Rama, with all due respect, the people must rise up and say no more.
Well, see, what happened is they, by threatening Tsipras, Prime Minister Tsipras' whole family, the people are just completely combobulated, you know. Half of his own party, see, the real Troika endeavor is to wipe that party off the map.
They don't
because
like...
Because that party is really representing the people rising up, and they're saying, get rid of the party. And they're going to try to do early elections in September and get rid of Tsipras and put the opposition in there, who they paid off, who are the ultra Nazi conservatives.
Right. The idea of socialism is the plague to the right-wing conservatives who only know austerity.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I can say to that is...
They totally know better. They did this as a planned
operation. The only thing I can say to that is it is time for us, the light workers, and all the people on this planet, is to wake up and not to form balance, but wake up in solidarity and walk in light and love and freedom. And that's the way we should be doing this. And I just want to say, I too want to walk in love, light, and freedom, because it is time for us to stand up and do these things. Namaste, dear ones.
Thank you, Big
Namaste.
Will.
Namaste.
And the other thing is that the Republicans here have lost their minds over what happened here with Barack Obama successfully with the team over there in the nuclear peace talks, actually pulling off an absolute marvel in terms of, you know, opposition forces coming together in a good way. Yeah.
And we are, as we can pull this to a close, it's about 8 minutes afterwards, after the hour. So it's time for our guest, and then we can come back to all of this in the last hour as much as we want. But I know that we need to get her called so that she doesn't think we've forgotten her.
Okay, and I'll just say one thing really quickly, that on the Nasara story, there's some changes in the, you know, the only thing that's out there is a Faction 2 report. And I just want everybody to know very clearly that the entire Congress was ushered into a starship, the King of Swords starship, and it wasn't 15 members of Congress, and they didn't want to talk anything about starships or anything, but that's what happened. They were all ushered by the Faction 3 White Knights, and with their phasers out, every single member of Congress voted to bring Nasara into law on the 9th of March, the year 2000. And what they did also is that the British soldiers destroyed all the copies of the Title of Nobility Amendment called TONA, Title of Nobility Amendment, the 13th Amendment. They did that back in the War of 1812 because it prevented anyone who had ties to the Crown of England from holding public office. And to this day, you cannot have a title of nobility. 95% of the members of Congress have titles of nobility. They have no business holding any office whatsoever. They will be deposed. And that's a fact. And it ends, Nasara ends the Federal Reserve Bank, you know, publicly, the IRS publicly, the entire shadow government publicly, and much more. And there's a number 13 here, which says eliminates Federal Reserve System. That's changed now. The rest of that says during the transition period, the Federal Reserve will be allowed to operate side by side with the United States Treasury for 1 year. No, that will not happen. The very when the announcement is made, then the entire Federal Reserve System will be completely down. And anything that's in You can't have cash sitting under your bed. It will not be honored because all the banks will be changed to the rainbow bills, and all the places where you go shop will be backed by rainbow bills. You cannot turn your bills in. They will be just, everything will be new. All the rainbow bills are where they're supposed to be. So, you know, the only place where the money that's old will be honored will be in credit unions. That's it. And that means 401ks will go to zero. Everything goes to zero. And then it starts over in the new way. So I passed the talking stick. I hope everybody got that.
Okay. And so that includes all of the people that have any money in the markets and all of that.
All of it. All goes to zero. Every
right.
single man, woman, and child has been assessed at a spiritual level, and then that's where we go from there, because we're going to divine government, everybody.
Okay. Well, our guest is waiting here. And we know that we're a little late here, so we'll just, if we run over a little in the last hour, we'll do it that way, if depending upon what works out. So Omina is our guest tonight, and she has been here before, and people have totally enjoyed having her and being able to call in and ask questions, and so that will be available this evening as well. And if they want to call in, I'm going to go ahead and give that number. The 888 number is toll-free for the United States and Canada, 888-429-5471. Or they can call 530-413-9537. So, Amina, please step forward and introduce yourself here and tell us what you want to speak about tonight.
Well, good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
We're glad to have you.
Well, I'm very happy
to
be here.
Your sound is very good.
Oh, very good. That's great. I thought that I would talk tonight about the healing rays of the soul, that we each come in on a certain ray for certain qualities that we are trying to develop. And I can start with them. There are seven healing rays, and we begin with the blue healing ray. And the qualities of that are strength, faith, and courage. And it's strength, faith, and courage to stand in our own personal power. So that helps us to overcome a lot of different things. But it also brings a lot of challenges to the person that comes in on the blue ray, because they meet a lot of people that challenges it to see if they have any strength or faith or courage to be able to speak their own truth. That's the first one. And the second one is the pink healing ray. And that's all about love, light, and oneness in all creation. So that's where we come totally from the heart. And we respect everybody on their journey. But we also see everybody as one. And we do it in love and light. And we put that into all our creation as well. If anybody want to ask questions in the middle of all of this, feel free to do so. And the green healing ray, which is the third one, that's bringing everything.
Well, why don't you go through all of them, and then we'll come back and let people ask.
So the green healing ray, the qualities are balance, understanding, and forgiveness. And the invocation for that would be, I am love, I am light, I am healed. Anyone that might have a problem going on in their lives, and most of us do, just keep saying, I am love, I am light, I am healed, because now you're invoking the vibration to bring in the healing. And that's always a really good one, and it's an easy one to remember. And people that, the orange healing ray is the next one, and the qualities of that is talent, resourcefulness, and creation, or being very creative. And the mantra for that is, I am aligned with my soul's purpose. And to, if somebody is having questions about their purpose in line, it's just to keep saying that they, quote, I am aligned with my soul's purpose, because the I am is the strongest vibration that you can actually invoke. And we have the purple ray. which of course is transformation. It's all about transcending any qualities that you're not too crazy about in your life. And the transformation quote for that is, my soul is the purest of the goddess desire. And that's one to keep repeating when you're trying to transcend, if it's an attitude, if it's a feeling towards anybody or yourself. It's very powerful.
Is the purest of the what?
My soul is the purest of the goddess desire.
Okay.
I'll repeat these anytime anybody wants me to. And then we had the gold healing ray of the soul qualities, which is wisdom. And that's about the wisdom to know my truth. And of course, you have to listen to your heart and your soul to find out what your own truth is, because if we're aware, if our consciousness is high enough, it will definitely hit us, because we will know what our own truth is. It's not about finding out what somebody else's truth is. It's about what is our truth. And the wisdom is allowing other people to come to their own truth without us imposing what we think they should do or say. And the iridescent healing ray of the soul is spiritual enlightenment. And we can attain that much quicker by saying, I am all that I am, all that is, always will be. And that's almost like the circle of, definitely from the spiritual to the lower bodies of the human element, but it also connects us to our spiritual selves. When we say, I am all that I am, all that is, always will be, that's totally from the spiritual realm, because that always is and always will be.
And for whatever reason, something cut out, and I don't know if it was for everyone, but on the seventh one, the color, I did not hear.
That's iridescent. It's the iridescent.
Okay.
Iridescent is what it does. It embodies all the other colors together, and it creates this beautiful iridescent color. You know, it has all the hues of all the other rays, and it's about spiritual enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And the mantra for that is, I am all that I am, all that is, always will be. And that's from the spiritual mm-hmm. realm. It keeps us connected to our higher self and our spiritual family. And that's
okay.
A really
good,
yeah, that's a
so,
really good.
So what is for each of us to learn which of those we belong to? What is the best way to do that? Just to call in and ask tonight? Or is there something else that they can do?
People most certainly can call in. Definitely, they can call in about anything that they want. If it's not about the healing rays, they most certainly can talk about what might be dear to them at this particular moment. The healing rays are a way of attuning to our spiritual selves. But it's also, people often ask, what ray do they come into? And oftentimes, you're going to be drawn to a certain color. Some people love blue, some love pink, some love green, they love orange, they love purple. I love iridescence because I love anything that sparkles.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the colors. They're all the royal colors. They don't fade off, but each healing ray has seven colors to it, from the very palest to the very deepest, and depending where you are on that level in developing those qualities. Like you have the royal blue, you have a light blue, you have a sky blue, you have a pale blue, and depending on where you are on that rung in terms of developing the qualities of strength, faith, and courage, you're going to be constantly tested if you're in the growing stages of it. Now, let's say you've achieved to the top, to the qualities to where you can stand in your own power. Then you become a model or a teacher or to other people, because now you are displaying the qualities, and then people begin to want to be like you, or they want to emulate you. That's true for all of them, for mm-hmm. any of the ways that we have. So they're very encouraging, and they're very keep us focused on our spiritual growth. That's really what they do. And they're giving us a message that we may have things to heal.
Well, I don't know what my color is, so I'll start it off and ask, and then we will take any callers who would like to call in, 888-429-5471 or 530-413-9537 is a second number that you might use. So give us a call and ask what ray you're on.
Yes, and I'll do the best I can to answer. So did you ask me, Marietta, when you were on?
Right. I do not know that.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have you on two of them.
Okay.
And the first one is the pink ray, which is about love, light, and oneness in all your creation that you're trying to achieve and have achieved in some areas. And the other one is that you're working on is also transformation. You're transcending some of the earthly qualities that you would like to improve on and that you would like to let go of. Okay? So you're between the love and you're using the love ray to help you with the purple ray. In terms
with
of...
With the what?
With the purple ray, the purple healing ray, transformation.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're using love to help yourself transcend those ego qualities that you're transcending, and you're transcending them into more love. And that's where you are becoming more into where you're, okay, you're using learning to use more of the God, Goddess, desire, and energy. That's
okay. Now, interesting. Since Robert merged with me after his transition, do you suppose that is anything that the reason you're picking up to or
yes.
Not?
Yes, I didn't think of that. Just let me talk to Robert for a minute. Yes, he's on the pink ray.
Okay.
He's on the pink ray and he's helping you. He's helping. I mean, you're
and
also.
And then I'm on the purple.
Yes, you're in. Okay. Yes, you're on the purple ray because that's where you're transcending a lot of the ego demands and a lot of the earthly ego parts of us. You're learning, you're working on transcending all of those and becoming more into your spiritual being. And he's helping from the love. Robert is helping you from the love ray because he's helping you from the love ray and he's telling you it's love, light, and oneness in all your creation. That's and that comes from the heart. And that's the pink ray. And he's working with you on that.
Okay.
He's here. He's talking to me. That's really interesting because I've never had to
well,
meet him before.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I had never, I didn't even know it was possible until after his transition. It was about 5 weeks afterwards, and he just came through and said, it's possible to merge my energies with yours. And I was at a place where a young couple who had interned with us, they had happened to be with me. And so when I came back from this walk, I happened to say to the young man, I said, you know, I've just had an experience. Do you see anything? Do you notice anything different about my energies? And he took one look at me and he said, well, there's a lot more male energy present. And I thought, okay, that's enough validation. And so that was how it happened. And that's been almost 8 years ago.
Well, Robert hasn't finished his contract with you yet on the soul level.
Okay.
Okay, so he chose to continue that when he passed over into his light body. He continued to merge the energies to help you.
Okay.
So I think that's really neat because I've never gotten two of them together like that before. And of course, he couldn't do it without your permission, and you were very happy to give your permission. And so he merged some of his energy, not all of his energy, he merged some of his energy with you from the pink ray, which is the love, light, and oneness. And that's something that you are learning more about. That's all what your whole transcending and transformation is all about. To where now you begin to transcend everything into the oneness. Seeing everything as oneness, that helps you.
All right. Well, I see we have a caller, so let's shift and give them some help. Debbie on line one.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Amina. Can
Hi,
you tell me what ray I came into?
And your name is Debbie?
Yes.
Okay, Debbie. You are on the orange healing ray, and that's about talent, resourcefulness, and creativity. And it would appear that you're blocked in some of that.
Oh, really?
It would appear that way. I'm not saying you know, it might be that I'm reading that you're not fully aware of it yet. And you have to use the mantra, I'm aligned with my soul's purpose. Are you in search of your soul's purpose?
Yes.
Okay. So that's probably the block, because you're probably searching too much rather than acknowledging what talents you have or how creative you are and how resourceful you can be. You're also dealing with the fear of rejection, and that's one of the blocks to accept to getting this information.
That's true.
Okay. So definitely start using that you're aligned with your soul's purpose and ask for that to be shown more clearly to you. And remember that the fear of rejection is a false belief system. That the person you may be talking to may very well have to do with that they don't vibrate to your energy.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So
Thank
raise
you
your
so much.
Vibrations.
Okay, I will. Thank you
okay.
so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye. Hi, Amina.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Kath.
Okay, I guess everybody on the board is interested in this one. Thanks, Tori. This is Kathy in the background, and I would like to know the answer as well.
Okay, Kathy, you have to give me permission to access that because you're blocking me unconsciously, okay?
Wow. I do give you permission.
Thank you, because we often do that without realizing it. You're on the green healing ray, where you're trying to achieve balance and understanding and forgiveness. And that's where you're going to say, I am love, I am light, I am healed. There's some old stuff there that needs attention. And it has to do with forgiveness of self first, and then looking at who else do you need to forgive and let go. It doesn't mean you have to forget, but once you get that done, you'll have a lot more understanding, and then that's going to bring the balance of all the energies for you. It's going to ground you more.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have any questions about it?
I'm sure I will have questions about it. I'm just a little surprised, and I guess I'd have to put some thoughts into what those questions would be.
Well, where did you think you were?
Well, I'm feeling good about forgiveness, and you say that I have to forgive myself first, and
I feel
like I've done so much of that work that I feel pretty clear there, yet you're picking something up.
Well, it could be from another lifetime. It could be something from many lifetimes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people oftentimes misunderstand forgiveness, because it implies that we have to give something to somebody, which actually it's not that at all. It's about acknowledging what it is about ourselves first that we may even criticize or not like, and we have to forgive ourselves for doing that. It's like if we don't honor ourselves, we need to forgive ourselves for not honoring ourselves. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be that simple. Sometimes we're too critical of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that blocks our understanding and our balance. It doesn't allow us to be the full beings that we are. So that's just something to take a look at and ask your soul to show it to you. And of course you can say, I am love, I am light, I am healed, because that will bring it to your consciousness, and then you'll be able to say, oh, that's what that was, and let it go. It can be small or it can be big. Or
yeah.
It can be just a little twinkle somewhere.
Very interesting. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And Kathy, I see you sent a note here. I wonder, is there a collective something that you know, with that Kathy and Carolyn and Tara and Rama and myself, we have been a part of this team from a long, long, many, many years here. Is there a collective something that a group might be working on, or are we all just fulfilling our individual things? What do you feel about that?
I think that you're all working on your own individual rays, because that's the ray you come in on to develop all of those. What it brings all of you together is to the golden ray, and that has to do with the wisdom. And it has to do with the wisdom to know your truth. And as a group, sometimes you may not agree with what the truth is, but it's not important to agree with each other as much as it is to acknowledge your own truth and allow the other people in the group to be able to say their truth. Because you're all on different paths of growth. So it's about having that respect and allow each other to say what's their truth and what's their wisdom and what they've learned. And I think you do that pretty good anyway. That's more like your collective ray. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's interesting.
And Tara, did you were you trying to ask a while ago?
Yeah. I was, you know, I have this analytical part of myself for the sake of...
Now you're just kidding us, right?
And you went a little bit fast for me when I was attempting to write the things down, but the emerald green ray is balances, healing, and forgiveness.
It's balance, understanding, and forgiveness.
Oh, understanding.
Understanding, yes.
Okay.
They're the healing components of the green ray of the soul.
Yes. And then I am love, I am light, I am healed.
Correct.
And then the orange ray is talent, resourcefulness, and creativity.
Correct.
And when you were speaking with Debbie, I am aligned with my soul's purpose. As you were speaking with Debbie, and bringing up, you know, I always think of fear as false evidence appearing real, and usually what it means is that I kind of know this one. You know, it's I'm familiar with the orange ray as what I'm saying, and what I experience is that. That you're having a false sense of your own humility, in a sense, and that a way to, you know, break through that is to call on great courage and great strength, and you can build some building blocks that are not blockages, but they are stepping stones to a greater sense of loving yourself, and therefore you can actually do a lot of good creative work. And I just got that really strong for Debbie. That might help Debbie a lot. And on the purple ray, I just want to say there was a lady, I can't remember her name right now, but she used to do these like circles, like pies.
Yeah.
And she used to look in your past life, you know, your future lives, or, you know, your all time is present, but she would look at those. She could see, she was a seer like that. And then she would color in like a percentage of the pie, you might say, like I had a purple, really strong purple ray section, and I had a strong orange ray section, and I had a strong emerald green ray section. And then she said, in this lifetime, you're going to really work on the blues and the bringing in more of the blues, which is, I didn't get what that was. And so I thought maybe.
Okay. Do you want to know what ray you're on?
Sure do.
Well, you're on the blue one. Okay. Now the blue one is the part, because from the orange ray that you're learning, that where you're learning, you're using the resourcefulness, but also on the blue ray, what you're developing or have developed And there might be a little bit of false understanding of it, because that has to do with the strength and the faith and the courage to stand in your own power, your own personal power. You come in on that ray to develop those qualities. But sometimes your analytic mind gets in the way. And sometimes that's where some of the false belief systems comes in from many lifetimes, and you have to sort them out. Because, and that's what you're working on in this lifetime. And a lot of it you already have achieved. But the part of the green ray is that you're trying to understand it all. Mm-hmm. Because it's part of the healing as well.
Okay, so the qualities are strength and faith and courage to stand in our own power.
In your own personal power.
Personal. Oh, that's an important word.
Your personal power has an awful lot. Because if you're standing in your own power, then that can be a false belief. But your own personal power means that you take responsibility for it, you honor it, you own it.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have to be blustery or loud or anything else. It can be as quiet as could be, because it's still powerful. When you've integrated all those qualities, there is true humility. And you don't have to prove it to anybody. When somebody has fully developed them, they have the strength, they have their own faith, they have the courage to do the right thing rather than do what's right, and they have the courage to be able to stand in that, in their own personal power. So it's a very, 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 it's just a powerful place to be in.
It certainly is. I am learning more about that every moment.
Well, people will come and challenge you.
This I also am familiar with.
yes, exactly. And
then to respond from the heart and not get stuck anywhere along that road.
Responding from the heart has to have the faith to know that you're coming from the heart and that's your truth.
Yeah.
Okay? And to honor that and not get tied up in people trying to prove you're wrong or you're trying to prove they're wrong. It's just about you're speaking your personal truth, and they can accept it or not accept it. That's up to them. You can't force that anywhere, but or with anybody. None of us can, but it's just you knowing, having the faith, you know that's true for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a powerful, it's a powerful place to be in, and that's where true humility comes from, actually.
It's true. And I was going to say that, Omina, when you first came on and your voice came on the line, there is so much love in you. You don't know anything else. It's just everywhere.
Well, thank you very much. That's a very sweet thing to say. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Omina. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. Okay, so where else shall we go with this? Anybody got any questions that I'm dying to explore?
Well, I just talked to Carolyn, and of course she wants to know also, but she is on the phone lines, and I didn't think to remind the station if they could put conference call so that people can just press a *6 and then we can hear them and they won't have to hop off and give us a call. So can somebody at BBS let me know if you are hearing this message, and I'll go ahead and put it in a note here as well. But while we're waiting, do you need to hear Carolyn? She wants to know, and she's on the phone lines, but she's not. Until we open this up, you can't hear her. So, do you need to have her voice here? Can you go ahead and tune in?
She can hear us. She can hear me.
Yes, she can.
So, did she ask you to ask me what ray she's on?
Yes.
Okay. So, Caroline, you are on the pink ray, where you're learning to come more and more from the heart. So it's all about you becoming love, light, and oneness in all your creation and in all your relationships and any other challenges that you might be facing in your life. So surround yourself with pink. It'd be interesting to know if you like the color pink or if you don't. So maybe that's a question you can, Marietta can tell me. Because that's
I don't know that at this point. I will, I'm asking the station to change this, so I'll be back in just a moment.
Yeah, that's okay, yeah. So, because for anyone that's listening, it's really important if they feel they're on the pink ray, how much they love the color pink in whatever shade that may be in, or if they don't like it, because there's reasons for that too. If they're on that ray and they don't like the color, oftentimes it means that they don't want to feel, because the pink ray is all about feeling, because it comes from the heart. And like a lot of people, we have a hard time dropping from our heads into our hearts. Even though it's such a short journey, we think it's around the world 10 times over.
I just sent Carolyn a text. Maybe we can get an answer back from her quickly that way.
Okay, that was a great idea. That's good. So,
and we'll see whether if the phone, if the station can change the phone lines so that people can do a star six. That was my error in not asking
Marita,
to do that. Marita,
Dougie was saying that sounds so terrible and it changes the quality so much he doesn't like to do the star mute, unmute. It would be better if she could call into the station.
I have, and they have. The thing is, if they're on the phone, they have to drop off and call in. So I was just thinking, I didn't realize that it was such a, it was making so much noise that we couldn't use that. So, okay,
it's really awful.
All right. Okay, so Carolyn,
I don't know if I should say that as a compliment or not.
Someone else is on the phone.
I'll try and tone down my energy.
Number 888-429-5471 or 530-413-9537. Okay.
I'm going to say, take a leap of faith. You can always use a Band-Aid if you get hurt.
Well, Carolyn is saying yes and no. So part of her likes the pink and part of her doesn't.
Oh, that's really interesting. Part of her likes the pink and part of her doesn't. So we don't, okay then. So what I'm going to say, and hopefully that she's listening, Caroline, that you're listening, that you need to pay attention to what color of the pink you don't like and what color of the pink that you do like. If you like the royal pink, then that means that you're definitely achieving some of the things. And if whatever part of the pink that you don't like, that means you are resisting. Whatever it is that you're trying to learn about yourself or other people, that you're being resistant to it, it would appear that you have a real fear of being hurt. So that may be part of that. So that means that you need to work some heart energy around yourself and become part of the light, part of the love of the total oneness. Start seeing love and light in all your creation and the oneness in all your creation. And that will help you. And the part of the pink that you do like, wear it or surround yourself with it or carry a little piece of it on you. That'll help with the vibration. It'll help with your vibrations to raise them up. And I'll send the energy to the pink that you do like. And I'll send even more energy to pink that you don't like. So it might help change that. We're all a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if she has any other questions, but hopefully that was helpful.
Well, I'm looking here. People are asking questions, sending me emails, so I was looking to see if there was anything here.
You are busy.
That's an understatement for Marita.
This technology is really interesting. To be on the computer and on the phone and then picking up emails on the phone. It's fascinating how we've developed all this connection. So,
yes. Well, Carolyn is saying thank you for your answers. They were perfect. She received that.
Wonderful. That's great.
Okay. Who else would like to know something about this?
Almina, I'd like to know what ray I'm on.
I'd like to know your name.
This is
Rama.
Rama, well, you're all over the place.
Indeed I am.
You most certainly are. So let's see. You couldn't even decide before you came into the world what ray you wanted to be on.
Yes, I came in.
He came in feet first, and he one side of him was pink, and the other side was blue. How's that for one?
Actually, you're on the orange ray. You're on the orange ray. It's about talent, resourcefulness, and creativity. And you are still trying to line up with your soul's purpose.
Indeed.
Okay. But that's the one you came in on. And the problem is you dance all over the place, so you don't spend an awful lot of time on acknowledging your talent. You need to focus more on your talent. Or I should say, focus more on the thing that you love the most. That would be your best talent. And that will align with your soul's purpose. You're like, your soul's purpose will show it to you, but you have to be quiet enough to receive it. By the way, you have a hard time receiving.
This is so. Thank you, Lady Master.
How about if we ask for Angel Sue, Marita?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Okay, Angel Sue is the other person that's on that always does the opening for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is she online?
No, she won't speak.
She can't call in right now, so we can give her the message, or else at last she will listen to it again on on the replay.
So, what do you want me to say? What race she's on?
Yes.
Okay, and Angel
Sue. Anything that would help her.
Angel Sue's her name?
Yes, that's what she goes by. Her Sue Jeffers is her name.
Okay, Sue is the vibration that I need, so.
Yes, just S-U, right. Not S-U-E.
It's S-U?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. She's on the gold ray. It's about wisdom.
Okay.
And it's about... She keeps searching for wisdom, but she keeps searching in all the wrong places. So what she has to do is she has to go into her inner chambers and look for her wisdom in there and to know her own truth. She sometimes denies her own truth because she's looking for approval from other people for them to tell her she's right in what she thinks or feels or what her own truth is. So that's what she's working on. So... to surround herself with some golden light. I mean, I think it's interesting that she's Angel Sue, because bring in one of the angels that has the gold around them and to help her with that, to help her to be able to speak her own truth. She's a little shy, I think, but that's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully that helps.
Oh, I'm sure she will be happy to have you have read that for her. We have Lynn on line one.
Yeah.
Lynn, can you speak up?
Yes, hello. Hello, Amina. Hello, Stargate Roundtable. Yes, what ray did I come in on?
You came in on the blue ray.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Where you're developing strength, faith, and courage. To stand in your own personal power. You're getting better at it. The other thing that I'm getting about you, if I may say it over the air, in order to develop your strength and your faith and courage and stand in your own personal power, you need to start practicing not to personalize things too much. Okay? So that... begin to learn that when you find yourself personalizing things, remember it's about the other person and it's not about you, and that'll help you depersonalize it. And then you begin to, that begins to give you more strength each time. And then it's having the faith in yourself that you're doing the right thing. And then the courage, sometimes the courage implies just standing there and saying nothing. Okay? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage just to be silent.
I know.
Yeah. So that I would recommend that you do that, and that, and you can just say, I am strength, I am faith, I am courage. Especially when you get annoyed with somebody. Okay? You're going to stand there and you're going to say, I am strength, I am faith, I am courage. And especially, especially, especially when you're dying to say something and you know you shouldn't. That will definitely help. But you're working on it. Do you have any other questions about it? You haven't fainted on me, have you?
No, not really. No. Thank you. Yeah. Don't take things so personally.
That's right. That's one, I think, one of the most heaviest burdens, I think, on some of these rays, and especially on the blue one, is practicing not to take things personally. Because when you take things personally, they deplete your energy and they lower your vibrations.
Absolutely.
Just remember, whomever is talking to you, it's about them. It's coming out of their mouth. It's about them. So you have to decide, like I said, start saying, I am strength, I am faith, I am courage, and just say, oh, that's interesting. Okay? You can listen. You don't have to act on your emotions, whatever comes up. You can feel them, honor them, know they're there, but you don't have to act on them. That's where your strength is going to come from.
True. Yes. Do you see any tie-in with that, with my lessons of patience and trust?
Well, of course. The patience, the trust has to do with, you have to find the trust within yourself. And the patience has to do with developing the strength to hold your own when you need to, or to be silent when you need to. Okay, and beginning to look at how to discern the difference between the two.
Yes, for sure. So true.
You know? Yeah, and especially if somebody is being critical. Let's say somebody in your life is being critical of you. My response would be, that's interesting. You're entitled to your opinion, which they are. Because that's going to stop them. You're not taking on their energy. If they're coming at you like that, you just simply say, you're entitled to your opinion. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to get involved with it. You just have to have enough faith to be able to speak your own truth, unless you totally believe what they're telling you. And then it's a false belief. Little things like that will change how you feel about whatever relationships you might be in, that because people, relationships are complicated. So you can pick and choose what it is you want to receive out of it or what you don't want to receive out of it. I don't think they're all going to abandon you because you don't agree with them. So it's just something for you to think about.
Okay.
You also have a guardian.
Is that help, Lynn?
What were you going to say, Amina?
You also have a guardian angel that works with you. And her name is Lilac. Don't ask me why. She said she's Lilac. She'll help you, but you need to ask her for help. Because they won't interfere with free will choice.
Yes.
And nothing can happen to you without your permission. Nobody can come into your face or your space and say things without your permission.
True.
Yeah, so believe that, have the faith in that, give voice to who you are.
Yes,
honor who you are.
Yeah. I like that. Yes,
I do too. It sounds strong.
It did.
Good. That's great.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Amina, my grandson just called me, and his name is Nicholas Alexander Timmons. My daughter made her transition when he was about 10, so he's like, he was my third child that I didn't bring through myself, but he is interested in what he's working on.
What Ray he's working on? And tell me his name again.
Nicholas Alexander Timmons.
No, I just need his first name.
Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas. Thank you. Nicholas, Nick, do you call him Nick? He's on the purple ray.
Nick.
Okay, Nicholas is on the purple ray, or Nick, I should say. He vibrates to both. He's on the purple ray, and he is working on transcending a lot of things in his life, and from some he's going through transformations. He feels like sometimes he's going through a lot of them, and because he's transcending old habits and looking for new insights. That's what he's looking for. And my soul is the purest of the God Goddess desire, and that will help him come up with his true purpose in life.
Well, it's interesting. He's on the purple ray, so am I. So that's why we are so connected.
You're very connected, but you're working on different issues.
Right. Okay.
Yes. He's on the purple ray. Okay. And the purple ray is wonderful because if anybody wants it, or if I send it to you, Marita, you can give it to everybody else. It's the violet flame. And maybe you're familiar with the violet flame.
Yes.
You're familiar with that invocation?
Yes.
Okay. On the cosmic law of forgiveness? I'm going to say it for anyone that's listening. I am the cosmic law of forgiveness, forgiving all past mistakes that mankind has ever made. I am the cosmic law of forgiveness, forgiving all past mistakes that I have ever made. In God's most holy name, I am. And when you recite that, you stand in the purple flame. If you want someone that you are working on forgiving them or looking for some peace, you invite them to stand in the flame. You recite this three times. You don't say it once, you say it three times or six times or nine times or 12 times, but you always say it at least three times. And you just visualize, anytime you can visualize yourself surrounding the purple flame, because what it does, it begins to clean out all that karmic stuff from a cellular level. It's a very, very powerful flame. And you recite this, and I'll email it to you, and then you can give it to whoever might want it. It's a wonderful, wonderful way of speeding up the process.
Okay.
And then
make sure everybody gets it that would like to have it.
Well, you might want to send want to send it to Nick, because he can use it in any part of his life and every part of his life. You can even
use
it in your car.
Okay, and Marita, will you send it to... Oh, I'm sorry. I was just... You can even put it in your car, she said.
But yes.
I was going to say, could you send it to Rama's email so we could share it with everybody on our website?
Well,
that's what I was thinking I would do.
Marita will send it to... I'll send it to you, Marita, and you'll send it to them?
Yes, I'll take care of sending it out.
No problem. I will do that. If I don't do it tonight, I'll do it tomorrow. I will send that. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way for cleaning up energy and transforming it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do we have any other callers here? I don't see anything from the station. Okay. So, in summary, what would you think is most important for all of us to know?
Oh, let me think. I think what's really important for all of us to know, that the only vibration in the world that's ever worth paying any attention to is the love vibration, because it's a very light vibration, and it takes constant work to uphold it. Negative energy is dense, and it doesn't take an awful lot to uphold it. It just hangs around. But the love vibration is very light. It's very warm and it's very bright. So it takes constant attention to remind ourselves that we're children of God, but it also tells us, remind ourselves that we are good enough to be loved. We're good enough to give love. We're good enough to be a part of the whole vibration of that ray, of the love ray, because love is light. What is it? Light, energy, oneness. I can't remember the whole thing. Maybe I'll do that on the next. Maybe I'll do the next show all on love, because it's fascinating. To me, it's fascinating.
Okay.
Okay. So I think that's... Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I see we have Deanna in here. Finish what you're saying, and then I see we have Deanna calling in.
Okay. So I'm just saying that constantly think about... I should say think about if you have to, but then try and feel it. If you have to think first, then bring it down to the heart and just let the heart do its own thing. It's amazing how healthier you'll be in the long run and how much more energy. And it's like, just walk around all say, I am love, I am light, I am love, I love myself. I love myself enough to allow somebody else to love me.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditionally. We do it unconditionally as long as we don't personalize. I call it impersonal spirituality. That's my message for today. So who do we have online?
Deanna. Speak up, Deanna.
This is Deanna. Hello.
Deanna or Deanna?
Hi, Amina. This is Deanna. Please, I'm enjoying what you're saying so much tonight. I would like to know, I know I'm on the Blu-ray, but I'd just like you to take a look at what's going on with me and give me any guidance that you feel to give.
Well, you might want to give me a clue what's going on with you, besides your confusion.
Everything.
Everything. You're confused about everything?
Yeah, everything. I don't know where to start. I'm just, I guess you could say I'm asking with some wisdom to find out what's going on with my body.
What I'm going to tell you right now, what I see is that you're going through a spiritual crisis.
Amen.
Okay. And if you understand that, it'll take the fear out of it. And this is about, you're actually leaving the blue ray and you're going to the purple ray. And this is where you're going to begin to learn about your healing. There's some things that you have to heal and let go of. And that's part of the spiritual crisis. When somebody's gone through a spiritual crisis, oftentimes there's a great deal of confusion and everything is all like a big jumble of things. So it's about ignore the big jumble and decide what it is you want to focus on. What is it about you that you would like to be more of? Or is there somebody in the world you'd prefer to be more like them? What qualities that they have that you have to look at and see how can you develop those qualities? And of course, you're going to say, I'm strength, I'm faith, I'm courage to be my own person.
Right.
It's more like you claiming your personhood.
My issues, I think, have to do with my health and being able to come back stronger. I'm right now in a healing state with my physicality.
Well,
and, it's very intense. I have rheumatoid arthritis and congestive heart failure and a few other things.
Okay, part of your healing journey has to do with you letting go of some old stuff. There's some things that are stuck around your heart chakra and also around your, your midsection. Your creative center is blocked.
Say that again?
Your creative center is blocked. That has to do with your lower body around your stomach. It's all blocked there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has to do with your heart and your creative center. Your heart's the feeling center, and around your stomach, around your digestive system, there's some blockages there that are creating some fatigue for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to begin to ask for help with clearing out all of that. When you definitely do the violet flame, you can reach me. You can reach me at, you can go on my website and email me. My website is Omena, O-M-E-N-A 777 at .com. Omena
777. At what?
Sorry?
You're blanking out. At Omena 777 at what?
No, 777.com.
Oh, okay.
That's my website. You can email me from there and I'll send you the invocation.
Yeah, I know the invocation.
Oh, good. Then use it.
Yeah, I've studied the violet flame for years. I know everything by heart. I've been doing this for many years now. So, yeah.
Do you use it?
Pardon?
Are you using the violet flame?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Okay, well, begin to have a willingness to let go of that which no longer serves your higher good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you will begin to have better health.
Yeah, I think I've taken on a lot of the world.
You've taken on way too much. I mean, you want to be a superhero. We do sell capes for that.
Great.
You don't have to be a superhero.
Yeah.
You just have to be yourself. That's all you have to be. So work on letting go of the old stuff, okay? And you'll come out on the other side because you are going through a spiritual crisis. That's what some of the physical illness is about. And that's oftentimes it works that way. When you get to the other side of it, you'll have a much better understanding, especially not to repeat it again.
Yeah.
If it's a chronic condition, you most certainly can improve it where it's less chronic.
Yeah, it's chronic.
Yes.
It's also, it's family oriented. I mean, the whole family has it. My whole, physical family.
Well, you know what I'm going to suggest? Give it back to the family.
Pardon? Say that again?
Give it back to the family. Ask yourself, why did you take it on?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't mean that you give it back to the family to hurt them. You sort of transcend it. You no longer want to be a part of that piece of it. Surrender it.
That's a good word.
Yes, surrender it. I am willing to give up this chronic condition.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that it?
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Amina. I will send you an email. I'd like to know you better.
Well, thank you very much. It would be my pleasure. Thank you.
God bless, dear one, and blaze the violet fire.
Yes. Burn that out of there.
Okay.
So, if anyone does want to connect with Omena and have a reading, she does that for people. As she said, her website is www.omena777.com.
Yes.
And there you'll find her email. And if someone doesn't have access to the computer, do you have a phone number that they can leave a message or?
They can call 860-871-6076. And I will get
back.
Can
you repeat that?
860-871. Oh my goodness, I got a black. Wait now, let me say it real quick. 871-6076. Want me to repeat
it? I got it.
You got it. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions here? Anybody on the team? Well, this has been most fascinating, and one of the observations that I see for the team of us is that we almost all of us have different rays, so we can come together here and do this. So that's an interesting, makes us a more complete, to have a little of everything to support each other, I guess.
Absolutely, and to honor each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the real, and to help each other, support each other, honor each other, force each other to grow.
Right.
We are such beings of habits. We always have to be forced to grow. Seriously.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
And that's okay, too. As long as you have a sense of humor around it, it's okay. Humor is a wonderful, good humor is a wonderful thing.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, that's one thing that my Robert had. It was, there was always a sense of humor about it all, so that was good. So it helped
Absolutely.
To lighten me up a little bit.
Oh, yes. Well, yes.
Robert's on pink ray. I was just going to say it's pink, purple, orange, gold, emerald green, and blue.
Yes.
On the team. Did we leave any color out?
On the team, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, iridescent. Nobody's iridescent.
Nobody's on the iridescent one yet.
Oh,
well,
that's
is
a
that
yet.
You, Amina? Amina, huh? Is that
yes.
one you?
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay, so you are part of our team too. So,
absolutely.
That helps to complete the whole rainbow.
Yes, it does.
Well, Amina, what ray are you moving from to the iridescent?
I'm on the first ray of the iridescent one. I'm moving from the purple ray.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm ascending.
Okay. Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Oh, I'll tell you that story some other time. That's a fascinating story that I sort of keep quiet about. So, but I am all that I am. And all that is, always will be. That I know from my heart and soul. So.
Uh-huh.
My mission in life is really spiritual enlightenment. That's my mission in life, in terms of the soul and the spirit and the whole, enlightening other people.
I like that.
Yeah.
So anybody can move. Anybody can move there as they are willing, right?
Oh, it's all free will choice. Yes, I mean it's all about acknowledging where we are at. It's about honoring anything about ourselves, good, bad, or indifferent. It's about honoring that, and it's about healing what we have to heal and letting it go, and then just moving forward and just being the spiritual beings that we are. I mean, I think we're all very funny, actually. I think human beings are the funniest things on this earth. And I get challenged every time with that. So.
There's somebody online.
Amina, we have Sandra online one.
Sandra?
And I didn't ever think to tell you, Amina, but if you click on the little round circle, it's kind of a comma at the bottom of it, you can see who's calling in as well. So that lets you see the IM, what we call the IM board, the instant message board.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you hadn't used Skype a lot. I never thought to mention that to you. So down underneath, you move your cursor around, and you will see that at the bottom little microphones.
So, yeah. Show the eye. Oh, yeah. Lynn, who's on?
Okay.
Cassandra.
Sandra?
So clear over to the right.
Hello?
At the bottom, there is a little round Cassandra. Circle with a comma light, and that's where you can see it. So
okay.
Cassandra?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, yeah, it's Cassandra.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And your question is?
I'm in a Target. Can I don't know if I have a bad reception.
No, we're okay.
Okay. Did you? I called in to ask about what color ray I'm in, and any other insights you want to share.
Well, Cassandra, right now I want you to silence your mind. Your brain is very busy, and it's not letting me access the information. So just give permission on a mental ray. Just give permission on your mental level so I can find out what ray you're on.
Okay,
you're on the green ray. Cassandra, can you hear
me? Cool.
You're on the
green. Yeah, ray. I like that color.
Well, now that's no coincidence, you know? Because you're in the area of trying to understand everything, bring it into balance, forgive what you have to forgive. You definitely need to say, I am love, I am light, I am healed. Okay?
Yeah, I really resonated when you said that. Yeah. Yes,
that's your ray. You're healing some things from past lives, and you're healing things from this lifetime. And I see.
Yeah, I want to try that purple thing too. The purple flame chant.
Well,
you
can always use the purple flame for transcending while you're trying to bring yourself into balance and do the understanding and the forgiveness. You most certainly can use the purple ray for that as well to help you. The violet flame, you can use that to transcend things. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I see children around you.
Well, I'm in the children's department at Target right now. do you mean instantly or more?
Do you have children? Do you have children?
No, I don't, but I am deeply in love with nieces and nephews that I have.
Oh, okay. Well, there's something connecting to some of the children that you know that you have to let go of. There has to be some forgiveness. It's from another lifetime. So pay attention to the children that you were close to, what feelings they're bringing up in you, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all about from another lifetime that you have to understand and let it go.
Okay. What's to understand? Or should I just do affirmations to understand? Because
you can do affirmations to understand. What you have to understand is what feelings the children bring up in you.
Okay. Right.
Is understanding those feelings and then letting them go.
Okay.
Some of them might irritate you. I'm using that as an
example. Yeah, two of them do. One of them I'm totally like, he can do no wrong. And
well,
then
there's the problem.
Kind of indifferent.
If the two that irritate you, you have to take a look at what are they bringing up in you. They're there trying to show you something. And that's the part that you have to transcend.
It's interesting, too, because I instantly wondered if they were my grandparents reincarnated.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No, they're not. They're your teachers.
Well, okay.
I can tell you right now, you didn't give me the name of your grandparents, but they're not. They're still on the other side.
Okay, good, because I do sometimes get messages from my grandmother.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the children are trying to teach you something. So just be aware of the feelings.
Okay.
They're only feelings. They don't have no judgment around them. Just let them go.
Okay.
Acknowledge them. You don't have to act on them. Just let them go.
So it's almost
the more
like
you love one, the more irritated the other two are going to be.
Say that again, sorry.
The more you love one, the more irritated the other two are going to be.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it?
Are you compelled to say anything else? I'm open to whatever you...
I'll give you one more question and that's it.
Okay. Oh, from me? Right. Oh, gosh. One. is there any I can do to get more on track with my dream to get back to London?
Is there anything you can do to get back on track to get back to London?
Yeah.
Well, take a look and see what's blocking you.
Okay.
You have to understand there's a part of you that wants to go and there's a bigger part of you that doesn't want to go. So you need to take a look at what that's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's all about free will.
Yeah.
I think you have a big fear of being rejected if you go.
Sorry?
I think you have a big fear of being rejected if you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's your block.
Yeah.
Put it in the violet flame and burn it up.
Okay. No wonder I wanted to hit that. I'm going to listen to this again and write it down.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Amina and everyone.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Good night.
Good night, Cassandra.
Good night.
Okay. Well, we've had a wonderful evening here and a lot of revelations about who we are and for the callers, as well as it was fascinating to see how diverse our team is and that we all bring different pieces and parts to the group. So that's, that really makes us a good team because we have different talents and abilities and wonderful. More importantly, spiritually, that helps us to evolve. So,
absolutely.
So, well, anything else that you want to say before we let you retire for the night?
No, I just love you all. I'm very grateful that you're in my life. It's a lot of fun. It's a wonderful thing for me, and it's wonderful to listen to you, and it's wonderful that I can share all my stuff with all of you. And I love the challenge.
I just see a message that actually came in on the bottom of my computer screen that Penny Christofferson from Canada evidently wasn't able to call in or whatever, but she was asking a question here and then it faded away really quickly. So maybe we'll have to do that next time since I really don't know anything except I know just who it was.
Okay.
So
well, then maybe sorry, go ahead.
Maybe she can call you and leave a message for you on your phone.
And it's very possible she wasn't ready yet to hear the message.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. We are so grateful to have you as part of our team here, and we look forward to hearing you the next time. So,
okay.
Blessings on your way.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Tara and Rama, since we're as late as we are, would you like to skip doing the musical break and just go right into whatever you want to do?
Sure. That's probably good.
Okay.
Oh, that was wonderful. I totally enjoy our sister, Omina. She's a very wise owl.
Right. Well, I think it was really fascinating to see how diverse our team is. And,
Penny is a part of our team, that's for sure. She's doing all those archives. So we'll get her in there.
Well, all I saw was her name actually on my computer at the bottom of the screen, not even as part of Skype, and she didn't do anything on my phone. She just did it somehow or other at the bottom of there, and so I couldn't.
That's interesting because we didn't see that on our screen.
Mm-hmm. No, it just now I see she was just saying ask Amina for me too, but we'll do that next time. So, okay. Well, Tara and Rama, it's all yours. You finish out the call for tonight, and I thank everyone and bless you on your way as I turn the
everybody. Please be generous. Send Marita blessings too, because it all goes into the kitty, Nasara now kitty.
that's good for the BBS radio.
Yes, okay. That's true. But Thank you for being there, BBS Radio. You're part of our family, too. We'll have to figure out your rays, too, over there, buddies.
Okay. Oh. Well, I sign off here, and I see I've got three phone calls I need to return here that people are called in. So let me see what they need, and I'm going to mute myself and turn it over to you, Taran Rama.
Okay. I was just thinking, I mean, we said a lot about a lot of things tonight. Yet the overall message that we are getting from the King of Swords and Lady Nada, and, you know, the King of Egypt said when all is said and done, Greece will definitely leave the Eurozone. And, the fearlessness of the people is to be honored. I mean, they really don't have anything more to lose. I don't think we can comprehend how austere it has been. I listened again to Richard Wolff on Tom Hartman about a week and a half ago, and it was just like, oh my God, what they've done to these people. I mean, and they've done it to everybody, but they really made a guinea pig out of the Greek people. They really have. There's this, you understand this, the Greek people are, in their true ancestry, they're people of color. That's their true ancestry. And all their statues were effaced. You might say they were bleached, and they're people of the black land of Kemet. Actually, the Mediterranean wasn't there. It was connected, Greece and right between Greece and Egypt. About the middle of the Mediterranean, on the surface was this great white city, and it was called Poseidon. The capital of Atlantis was there. Wasn't over here, wasn't in the middle of the ocean, it was over there. And it's just a lot to think about. And that great white city is it's on the floor of the Mediterranean. And it's intact, everybody. This is just something awesome is going to happen here. We're all here to really stand for the changes now. And so let's read this astrology from our brother Carl Boudreau. I honor his work because he synthesizes all the timelines. Takes it to the Greenwich Mean Time, and he synthesizes it, and then he speaks from that global perspective. So I really love that. So it's astrology status for June 18th, 2015 through July 2015. Drawing the lines in the sand, this far and no farther. For many months now, astrological message has been about challenging and repeated emotional releases, confusion, and indecision. That will almost surely change dramatically in July. Neptune, Chiron, Nessus, and Saturn have softened the ground. Positive aspects have planted seeds of hope and aspiration and begun paving a way forward. Beginning very soon, as soon as July's new moon makes itself felt, we will define a goal for ourselves. We will experience grim and righteous determination to achieve that goal, even as that means outright confrontation with those who resist us. And that new moon started yesterday. Right, strong. Let me just look it up here, the actual timing, to make sure here. Okay, 6:24 Pacific, 9:24 in the evening, this is, in the Eastern time zone. So 7:24 our time. Last night is when this new moon, and it's sandwiched between two full moons on the 1st and the 31st. And the first was full moon in Capricorn. The 31st, full moon in Aquarius. And the new moon right smack dab in the middle is Cancer new moon. That's dealing with heart and deep, deep emotions. Okay, so no, it's only how many minutes? Yeah, okay, so I got time. Okay, so beginning very soon as July's new moon makes itself felt. So as we just started experiencing the feeling part of it today, you know, first day, second day, 3 days out, we should be really into feeling that. We will define a goal for ourselves, like we say it here, and we will confront anything that or anyone who resists us in that achievement. Nazar now, how's that, everybody? And freedom and justice. And let's have them in the order of the way that the six perfections of the divine Buddhic paths bring this fruition every time in the order of love, truth, peace, freedom, justice, seasoned with divine mercy and compassion and wisdom, and then beauty. Okay, so that's the way of the Nisara way. Okay, remember, we're in that divine feminine for a couple of thousand years here till 4151 AD. So divine guidance from the goddess Virgo. And she's real good at mouse medicine, application to details, being appreciative of the tiniest little good thing that comes our way, or whatever thing, don't judge it, because it's a gift, all of it's a gift. So the moon's work. Cancer, presently being transited by the sun, is the moon's home sign. Both Cancer and the moon are closely associated with the psychologically and spiritually vital fourth house. Cancer, okay, fourth house, everybody, just so you know. Just want to describe the fourth house here. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's Cancer, yes. It's cardinal, I feel. And that's got to do with that pink ray. Lady Master Rainbird. And it deals with the stomach and the breast, the ruler being the moon. And its influence is in the home and the environment. It's with the crone stage, the elders, the, you might say, old age and internal youth can go together here this time. It has to do with the land. How about that? The land and its mother and or father energy. All those things. Wow. Cancer, 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 cancer. Okay. Cancer, the moon, and the fourth house are all closely associated with the weaving and reweaving of patterns in our unconscious mind. These patterns affect our spirituality and our psychology. They strongly influence, as they do not simply determine, our attitudes and behaviors. The moon in the nth degree is the title here. Every July, the sun transits Cancer, placing its energetic emphasis on the deep psychological and the deep spiritual processes governed by Cancer, the moon, and the fourth house. In July 2015, a number of factors will dramatically heighten this focus, intensifying, accelerating, amplifying, and spiritualizing these psychological and spiritual processes. There are three moons in July, and like I said, from the meantime, actually, when you get out there in the Atlantic Ocean, it's already the 2nd of July when the full moon enters Capricorn. But that means wherever we are, that's still where we are. And it's that time in that place while we are in the time in our place. And July 16th instead of the 15th, new moon in Cancer. And July 31st, the full moon in Aquarius. Thus, This surplus of lunar energy will by itself put psychological and spiritual processes on overdrive. Yet there is more. Some serious, where the second Sirius is S-I-R-I-U-S. Sirius is by far the brightest star in the heavens. It is also the most sacred of the stars. Located in Cancer, I think of Sirius as the light of higher consciousness, shining through the psychological and spiritual processes governed by Cancer. The patterns we weave in the course of the moon's monthly cycle must not be so dense as to obstruct the light of spiritual intuition that shines steadily through Cancer, providing insight, guidance, and support. In symbolic terms, this means that we must not shut out the light of Sirius by weaving rigid and opaque patterns in our unconscious. With relatively few exceptions, the new moon conjunction will produce a beam of Sirius energy strong enough to soften and penetrate even the most rigid and opaque patterns in our subconscious, although some may be brittle enough that they snap under the strain. It is worth noting that historically the Cancer-Capricorn axis has proven powerfully sensitive. Pluto's transit of this axis, whether in Cancer or Capricorn, has consistently correlated with major historical events at the moment of the new moon in July 16th. Mars, Mercury, and Sirius will conjoin. This triple conjunction is closely opposed to retrograde Pluto in Capricorn. For astrological purposes, the distance between Mercury, Sirius, and Mars is negligibly small. This exact conjunction and opposition is highly unusual. I checked as far back as the 1600s and found nothing comparable. That's 500 years, everybody. Oh, my. Mercury at 14 degrees 11 Cancer, Sirius at 14 degrees 17 Cancer, Mars at 14 degrees 21 Cancer, Pluto at 14 degrees 2 Capricorn. Okay, that's, again, Mercury, Sirius, Mars, Pluto. That's a grand stellar combustion in Cancer. And, that last one is in Capricorn. I see it's still at 14 degrees. Okay. Sun and Moon conjunct in Cancer at 23:14 Cancer. The new moon in July marks the beginning of the moon's annual cycle of new moons. Another factor that increases the significance of this conjunction opposition. As we use Greenwich Observatory Mean Time, UT time, as the birthplace, as I do, this potent opposition will fall across the financial axis of the entire chart, heralding a profound shift in global economic attitudes. Hey, everybody. Drawing lines in the sand, a strong Sirius imparts a clear and strong, often relentless sense of spiritual mission. It can also cause life-changing events that return us to alignment with that mission. As Sirius aligns with Mars, passion and initiative combine with a strong, distinctly spiritual kind of inspiration. Through Mercury, Sirius infuses thought and language, spoken and written, with spiritual inspiration. Sirius, Mars, and Mercury then will create a kind of righteous, spiritually inspired determination in all of us and impart a solid psychological confidence in ourselves as well as our mission. We will become convinced of the rightness of our goal and of our ability to achieve it. We will become increasingly convinced that we should and can overcome the seemingly innumerable challenges we are now all facing. It will also bring a continuing series of spiritual and psychological changes in us. The exact opposition from Pluto can add an obsessive, self-righteous tone to our determination. We can become demanding, domineering, impatient, and combative, overlooking or even overriding the rights and the expectations of others. No doubt, some will behave this way. By any means necessary, it would be hard to underestimate the power and the intensity of this influence. On the individual level, it will grant many of us the determination and direction we've been lacking. Others of us can become obsessed and over-controlling. On the macro level, this influence will almost certainly cause extreme and fanatical acts. Uh-oh. Mitigating factors, retrograde motion and mutability. Okay, here we go. This is a litany here. Saturn, Pallas, Ixion, Pholus, Kuaoar, Chariklo, Pluto, Ceres, Nessus, Chiron, and Neptune. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different bodies in the heavens will all be retrograde at the new moon in July, like as in right now, everybody. By itself, the Pluto, Sirius, Mars, and Mercury opposition should be considered dangerously volatile, even explosive. However, retrograde motion, 11 bodies of the heavenly bodies, retrograde motion predominates in the chart. Retrograde motion encourages thoughtful, reflective, introspective responses and stimulates discussion. Barack Obama couldn't have picked a better time, and the universe collaborating to get this alignment with the Iran nuclear agreement. And I mean, he was just egging on the people at the press corps conference. And he basically outdid Jack Kennedy. I mean, Jack Kennedy had the record of being able to take it on, you know, hit me with your best shot. Barack Obama wouldn't leave. Said, I want to make sure there's all this stuff is all the, you know, he didn't say it, but, you know, get all the laundry out. I'm going to hit you with my best shot on all of it. That's what he did, just an hour and a quarter at least. Okay, so. Yet the retrograde motion will also make the world permeable to this intense burst of spiritual energy, which will sink in and percolate through the many layers of our reality. Last month, I discussed the significance of the retrograde motion of the dwarf planets that govern collective consciousness. The transformation discussions taking place as a result of these retrogrades will now be infused with the distinctly spiritual energy of the Pluto-Sirius-Mars-Mercury opposition. Again, as I do, we can use Greenwich Observatory Mean Time, UT, as the birthplace. All these retrograde dwarf planets fall immutable Sagittarius in the seventh house, foretelling a profound transformation in our ideas about social relationships and our obligations to each other as members of a society. Many of the most significant placements in recent charts have been in mutable signs. This mutable energy will also tend to soften and dissipate any harshness. There is a generous assortment of trines in this chart. Most notable, perhaps, is the grand trine between Chiron, Saturn, and the grouping in Cancer. This trine will dramatically facilitate the change of worldview required to allow these radical new serious energies to express effectively. Furthermore, Pluto sextiles Chiron. Chiron in turn trines the cluster in Cancer. This will channel the disruptive energy of the Pluto's opposition into constructive, transformative dialogue. Last paragraph. All of these trines complement the bracelet of minor positive aspects in place long term. Will complement that bracelet long term. So in July, as in previous months, our opinion about whether things are falling apart or coming together will depend on which signals we are reading. So accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In Between is that message, because you can read all kinds of crazy stuff. And again, as in so many previous months, as we focus on the inevitable negative events, we will overlook a rare and so ever so profoundly transformative astrological event, one that marks a historic turning point in key social and economic attitudes worldwide. So unity consciousness it is right now. Unity consciousness is okay. With that in mind, let's get started with our Nassim Haramein. 15 minutes, everybody. Here we go.
Meaning we haven't observed this from the sun before. I have another one that's much more outrageous. You guys want to see it?
Why can't we feel it now? I mean, why can't we feel it from around time?
Oh, you do?
You can't even see it.
Have you noticed this summer? The world has never seen heat like this. All around the world, thousands of people have died in Europe. China had 126 degree heat.
That was on 2012, everybody.
This is not the result of global warming. Global warming does not happen that fast. Okay? This is the result of something much more dramatic, like the sun going berserk. The other thing is that Jupiter, you see, have you heard about Aurora Borealis this year?
No.
Yes. You know what Aurora Borealis are, right? Yes. These colors you see in the sky? These colors you see in the sky are the result of the ions thrown out by the sun, the plasma thrown out of the sun, getting caught in the magnetic field of the Earth, and then getting funneled at the north and south pole of the Earth. And when they enter the atmosphere of the Earth, they create all this radiation that looks like Aurora Borealis. Well, that happens on the other planets too. Let me show you Aurora Borealis on Saturn. See? That's Aurora Borealis on Saturn, on the North and South Pole. Let me show you Aurora Borealis on Jupiter.
Have you used any...
These are the pictures of the North and South Pole of Jupiter.
Is that unusual?
Well, what's unusual, and I don't have a picture, I got to get it from the net. I got to get that in my presentation. What's unusual is that on Jupiter right now, there is so much activity from the sun. Well, on the Earth, never mind Jupiter, the Aurora Borealis are now spanning all the way down to the equator. And they've been seeing Aurora Borealis on the border of Mexico and so on. And there is Aurora Borealis in the North Pole that have been going on steady for weeks and months. They're not going away because there's so much solar activity. The sun is throwing out so much stuff that there's so much ions coming in the atmosphere that it's creating these aurora borealis all around that are, you know, in a steady state now. But on Jupiter, they have now observed an extremely hot, almost the size of the Earth, on the North Pole of Jupiter, because there's so much solar activity and all these hot ions are going in, the surface of Jupiter is actually starting to ignite. Jupiter is the exact same composition as the sun.
Yes.
In the sixth sun tradition of the Incas, the Mayans, and many others, many tradition talks about the next evolution, there will be two suns. And from these tradition, Arthur C. Clarke did the movie 2010, where Jupiter's atmosphere ignite into a sun. It's the birth of a new sun. I thought that's interesting. But I wanted to show you some of these pulses. I have new ones that are kind of mind-boggling, and I hope I can find them. Not obvious because there's so much stuff going on. Let me see. Pulse is that. So these pulse, you know, is typical or what would be expected of a system that's about to go and release some of its energy. Now, it might not, okay, 25148, let me see, 25148, let's see, I can nail this. I miss it. Let's see. Okay. 24. That is the largest pulse I have been able to find. That is outrageous. And you know, you should see the data that comes out with this. When you see the graphs of like electron production and negative ion production and all this, everything just peaks right out. It's outrageous. Look at the deformation that is going on the surface of the sun. Look at these bumps. It's like completely warping the surface of the sun. That is a lot of energy. That is a lot of energy.
Why do you think?
Like I said, I think that the sun is going through its cycle where it's actually starting to become unbalanced because it's going too slow for the amount of energy in it, and it's starting to get ready to release some of that energy. And, you know, the result would be, you know, huge energy would be released into a solar system, which we're experiencing right now. Our weather is going to change. It's going to get real hot, you know. And as well, the plasma that's ejected could easily reorganize in smaller planets and change the dynamics of the planets together. So there's many things that can happen there. Well, there's not that much more to say about Jupiter other than that hotspot has been growing for the last year and a half. At this point, it's emitting a lot of energy in X-ray and infrared and all this. It's not visibly ignited yet, like it's not doing fire yet, but it's getting hotter and hotter, and it's getting bigger and bigger very quickly, especially as the sun is going more berserk.
And that's like never been seen before.
No, they have no explanation for it.
Jupiter is actually in the process of igniting and turning into a star. do you think that there's a possibility of a sympathetic vibration between the Sun and Jupiter to actually bring that about?
Create a balance?
Yeah.
They could be.
Away, but
yeah.
Energy too.
Yeah, it's a lot of energy, and there are two fairly large objects. And they both output a lot of energy. Jupiter outputs 90% more energy than it receives from the Sun, from some kind of internal energy source, which I believe is a black hole. So, yeah, definitely all objects, you know, are always in sympathetic resonance to each other and all always tend towards stability and equilibrium. So there would be a reorganization of the sympathetic relationship between the two.
So if the alternate is fractal, what could you relate this to that we have observed before, or that microcosm diagram, is there anything that you could relate it to?
Yeah, it's similar to an electron going to the next orbit, the next shell. And similar to a quasar becoming a galaxy. And similar, you know, it's that pulse that occurs, you know, that pulse of life. The Big Bang is another example of it, if you'd like, you know. And so it is a fractal. The fractal relationship actually you can find everywhere. And all of the dynamics and all the systems we see in the universe would be a result of that pulse. And interestingly, recently, we have, for the first time, have been able to get data of what our solar system looks like inside the galaxy. And they were surprised to find that our solar system is in the middle of a bubble of nothingness in our galaxy, meaning all the material around our solar system seemed to have been pushed away on the edge of our far from our solar system. And they don't know why. The only thing they could come up with was that a supernova must have blasted right beside our sun that pushed all the stuff out. But that doesn't make sense, because if a supernova went off beside our sun, then we would have got pushed out with the rest of this stuff. And our sun is right in the middle of that bubble. So the only thing that could have done that was our sun doing the pulse and pushing all this stuff out. And when it did that, most likely, that's what generated all the plasma necessary to generate our planets. You see? And so now it's about to go to do another of these pulses. Now, it could be a much smaller pulse. It could be a micro pulse in a fractal of larger pulse. You guys see what I mean? So it could fluff off just enough energy, release enough energy by doing these pulses, so that eventually it regains balance and goes back to normal. But even if it was minor in terms of the amount of the energy of the sun that would be released, it would still be a major event to people of Earth. And certainly, we would start to observe a new quality of luminosity of our sun. Because when it does that, and interestingly, if it really does this, it's not inconceivable to think that it might actually become clear, that the you know, now there's that many sunspots on the sun. Some of them are like 10 times the size of the Earth. There's a lot of black on the sun, right? Now, if it blew enough plasma, it could actually expose its black hole nature. And that'd be cool because it proved my theory, but in any case, if it did, it's not unthinkable that we would get 3 days, maybe, of darkness with no sun, while it is regaining balance and before it starts emitting electromagnetic light again, right?
Within the network of people that you work with, are there any activities to kind of mobilize human consciousness to tap into per se the consciousness that's happening with the sun to help, you know, understand the dynamics of the movement and how can we on Earth, since we are all our synchronic points, to facilitate a good, easy movement so that we don't explode? As I hear you, I'm asking myself, well, is the sun going to explode and push us out and we all become dust? Or how can we work with our consciousness to facilitate a good transition to the next level?
Yeah, I've thought about that myself. And it's a good point. One thing that I really suggest to work with your consciousness and the sun is don't take it personally. Okay? That's first, you know, on the list. Because when the sun is going berserk...
What can I say, everybody? That's where this section ends. So tomorrow, next week, Thursday.
And flaring and all this.
Turn that off,
Rama.
There's
so much energy. There's so much, you know, act.
Sorry, that's just a repeat. Okay, let's do our unicorn reading here. With forest branches and the trodden weed, thou silent form dost tease us out of thought. Beauty is truth, truth, beauty. That is all ye know on earth, and all ye need to know. And that's by John Keats. And there's one more here. He gallops across the forest green, so quickly that he's seldom seen, where peacocks their wild blue feathers preen, and strawberries grow wild. William J. Smith. Oh, the beauty of the movement of the unicorn through the forest is, it's the footage that he's got here is different speed sets, and you can just see the colors all blend behind the unicorn as he's just galloping across large parts of the forest ground. So let's keep the unity consciousness in mind, that single-pointedness. Let our eyes be single. Many colors are we, and unity within all that is. And let's, with that in mind, we'll go to the music maestro, and we'll see you tomorrow. See you in your dreams and on the bridge. Namaste, everybody. Sat Nam. Music maestro.